What's up, fight fans? Welcome to Full Press MMA. I'm Jim Grease, G-R-I-E-S, at Jim Grease underscore, at Cageside Grease on social media. Here with all the news, here with all the notes, here with all the hot topics, and here with all the hot takes you need to be the smartest fan in the room when you're talking about the sport we know and love, mixed martial arts, minus all the bullshit headlines. Come on, and these are legit. I mean, CBS, for one, the Dana White headline. Dana White says he's not sure how he's going to get Conor McGregor and Michael Chandler in the octagon in 2023. Not what he said. To say you're paraphrasing would be wording it loosely. And you wonder why the media gets ripped. Well, anyway, you're not going to get any of that here with me. It's Full Press MMA. It's Grease. It's Tuesday, June 6th. It's UFC 289 week. Let's roll. And where do we start but Vancouver, BC, Canada, eh? UFC back in Vancouver. The 32nd overall visit to Canada. Shout out GSP. The women's bantamweight title bout, Amanda Nunes and Irene Aldana. Originally, it was going to be Juliana Pena. Originally, it was going to be the trilogy. New blood for the lioness, Amanda Nunes, and a savage herself, Irene Aldana. Finally, Benil Dariush in that 8-fight win streak gets a crack at the top of the lightweight division. Former champion Charles Du Bronx Oliveira in a winner-takes-all matchup. You'd have to think like the winner here would be ahead of Gaethje Poirier winner for the next undisputed title shot. Mike Malott, Adam Fugit, Dan Ige, Nate Landwehr, Marc-Andre Barriault versus Eric Anders, also on the main card, but the prelim headliner is a good one at middleweight too. Nassourdine Imavov and Chris Curtis. Can't wait to see that one. So UFC 289, not looking too bad. There's been a lot of fights that have fallen off this card, man. Steven Thompson, Wonderboy, and Michel Pereira were supposed to be on here. Matt Schnell and David Dvorak. Schnell pulls out due to injury. Steven Ersig replaces him. Hakeem Dawodu, Lucas Almeida, unable to fight. So Almeida instead scheduled to face Pat Sabatini on UFC on ESPN. Vettori versus Cannonier coming up right around the corner. And Chris Daukaus was supposed to make his light heavyweight debut against Khalil Roundtree Jr. Daukaus withdrew just this week due to injury. And Roundtree, as we can see it so far, is not on the card. But UFC 289, Nunes and Aldana, Oliveira Dariush, and a whole good card full of UFC fights this weekend in Vancouver, BC, Canada. A reminder, you can catch the fight stack right here. We got your back with the fight stack. Full fight previews and odds breakdowns of every main card fight on every UFC fight card, UFC 289 this week. Plus an end-of-the-week special after weigh-ins. The weights, the ramifications, the line movements, the prop bets, all you need, everything you need with all the fight stacks all week long to get some action on the action with the UFC. Keeping it in Canada at UFC 289, a lot of focus on Amanda Nunes, the lioness. I mean, what more does she have to prove in this game? The two-division champ, the blistering KOs of Cyborg and Ronda Rousey, the bludgeoning and choking out in a puddle of her own blood of Miesha Tate, the countless title defenses in a row, the revenge fight, and the dominating win over Juliana Pena. Why does Amanda Nunes keep it going? She just left American Top Team. She's looking for new challenges. She's talking about potentially fighting in the WWE or being in the WWE, excuse me, when she's done fighting, now that it's an easy crossover for her with the ownership that the WME thing did with the WWE now. But anyway, with Amanda Nunes, why is she still competing? She's got her wife, Nina. She's got the baby. She's got all the money she could ask for. At least we have to think she does. What is left for her to prove? Why is she still doing it? Some people just love the competition. Some people just can't get enough of that competition. They can't get enough of that desire to win, of that feeling of being in a sport, of preparing for something with a team, and extremely just throwing yourself all the way into it and then achieving victory at the highest level. Look, and Juliana Pena, it was supposed to be the trilogy, this one, so maybe that'll be the next fight. There's no real quote-unquote legends left for her to fight. Kayla Harrison's already lost to a nobody, and that's exactly who she lost to, is a nobody. Let's not get it twisted. I mean, I can't sit here and say Francis Ngannou just went 10 leagues below if I'm going to say that Kayla Harrison didn't just lose to a nobody. So she's already starched out Cyborg and Ronda and Holly Holm. She's beaten her, finished her. And of course, I mentioned Miesha Tate. I mean, she's beaten the best of the best. You wonder what's left for Amanda Nunes. We'll find out a lot against Irene Aldana on Saturday night, because Irene Aldana is about as good as you're going to get in terms of being a savage. And also on that fight card, Du Bronx, Charles Oliveira, looking to get back to his winning ways. It wasn't long ago when we were talking about Oliveira having come full circle, changing the weight classes, going on the run, coming back in title fights and beating the Gaethjes and the Poiriers and the Chandlers, and just an amazing run for Dubronx, right? It all came to a screeching halt against Islam Makhachev in Abu Dhabi at UFC 280 last fall. He had so much confidence, it was all taken away in one fight. He's a completely different person. He's got to beat Beneil Dariush in his 8-fight win streak, and that's a tall order. Dariush is a really good grappler, tough on the feet, going to be a problem for Oliveira, and he's hungry. Dariush has been waiting so long to fight anybody in the top three. He gets the former champion with a title shot, you have to believe, on the line. The BMF is Gaethje and Poirier's. Maybe they'll want to merge those. This is not an interim title fight. Who the hell knows what's going to happen, but I believe the winner of this fight, especially if it's Charles Oliveira, he's going to get his rematch, and Beneil might have to beat the winner of Gaethje and Poirier, in my mind, at least, to get that title shot. So Charles Oliveira, mad at himself, looking to bounce back. Everybody's talking about Dariush coming into this fight. Do not sleep on Dubronx. Do not sleep on Dubronx. There's your public service announcement. For the rest, listen to the Fight Stack right here where you're listening to me right now. And Eric Anders taking on Marc-Andre Barrial in the opening fight on this card. The former Alabama Crimson Tide national title winning inside linebacker maybe says he has 5 more fights left. He makes the move from Fight Ready to the MMA lab in Arizona. No hard feelings, no anything, as he talks about spending a lot of time at Marquez MMA in Philly, Fusion XL in Orlando, and, you know, working with different people around the country. But he says he has 5 fights left. One of them this weekend will be against Marc-Andre Barrial to open up the main card, UFC 289 in Vancouver. Keeping it moving on Full Press MMA on your Tuesday, June 6th. I'm Jim Grease, G-R-I-E-S, at Jim Grease _, at Cageside Grease on social media, here with the news, the notes, the hot topics, and my hot takes that you need to be the smartest fan in the room when you're talking about the sport we know and love, mixed martial arts. And you don't need my hot takes, or anything else for that matter, to be the smartest fan in the room when you're talking about the All-American Chris Weidman and the absolute 100% pure heart and soul that we've seen from him over these past few years. On top of the world when he defeated Anderson Silva at International Fight Week in 2013, I was 15 feet away from the cage, interviewed both the fighters before and after the fight, and I can tell you that was one of the greatest environments, one of the greatest upsets, one of the greatest crowd reactions I've ever seen and heard in the history of the UFC, and I've been going to fights for a lot longer than that. Then the second one, Silva snapped his leg the following summer at International Fight Week. He tore apart Lyoto Machida over 5 rounds to keep his title in Machida's prime when Machida tried to go up to 85 and take his belt, or down to 85 from 205, excuse me. So a 205er coming down to 85, and Weidman was able to outlast Machida in a slugfest over 5 rounds. Everything was going his way. It all fell apart against Luke Rockhold. He ate the knee from Yoel Romero, the travesty against Musasi in upstate New York, and just the attempt to go up to 205 and getting laid out by Dominic Reyes. Then, of course, the leg snaps in half against Uriah Hall. This dude has been through it all. He just keeps coming back. He just keeps proving to you that no adversity is too big, that nothing is too strong to overcome, that as long as you have heart and soul and belief in yourself and passion for what you do and trust and faith in the man upstairs and the people around you, you can accomplish everything you want in this life. And for Chris Weidman at this point, it's not about the belt. I wouldn't say ever, but at this point, for sure, it's just about getting back in there and finishing the ESPN 30 for 30 movie on his life. But he will be back into the octagon, the All-American, coming back this summer, 2 years after a devastating leg break during a 2021 fight. He's going to fight veteran Brad Tavares, UFC 292, August 19th in Beantown. Sources confirming to ESPN, Newsday was the first to report the news. Weidman's 38, the visibly broken leg, ironically, just like the one that Silva suffered against him when he checked, or had his kick checked by Uriah Hall on April 24th, 2021, immediately fell to the ground. It was one of the most disgusting scenes I've ever seen. I love Chris. I've made no apologies about that. Saw him and gave him a big hug at International Fight Week. He's been a friend to me since the minute I got into this game in 2010. So the fractured tibia, the fractured fibula, the leg wasn't healing correctly. Another operation needed. He was able to compete in a grappling match in March. He lost by decision, but he's 15-6 in the UFC, the former champion from Long Island, New York, returning to middleweight in 2020, and he won to beat Armari Akhmedov via unanimous decision, And Tavares has dropped two straight, including a knockout loss to Bruno Silva in April. That's on the Aljo Sean O'Malley card. Aljo and Weidman were teammates for years. I mean, it just warms my heart. I mean, a longtime teammate training under Ray Longo and Matt Serra. Chris Weidman coming back this summer, the All-American. And while Weidman's coming back, a lot of fighters will not be. After 16 bouts, Ilir Latifi, the 39-year-old heavyweight, no longer on the UFC roster. The Sledgehammer last competed on May 20th, dropped the split decision to Rodrigo Nascimento, UFC Fight Night 223. In addition to Latifi, the following fighters no longer on the UFC roster: Makhwan Amirkhani, Tony Gravely, Trevin Jones, Monir Lasez, Omar Morales, and Batgarel Dana all completed their contracts and were not re-signed to the UFC. Wrapping it up on Full Press MMA on your Tuesday, June 6th. I'm Jim Grease, G-R-I-E-S, at Jim Grease underscore, at Cageside Grease on social media. Got the news, the notes, the hot topics, the hot takes you need to be the smartest fan in the room. Talking about the sport we know and love, mixed martial arts. Hit me up, give me a follow on social media, at Jim Grease, at Cageside Grease. Let me get out even more content, interviews and things like that for you as well. And speaking of content, tonight is episode 2 of The Ultimate Fighter season 31. Episode 1, Conor McGregor, Michael Chandler. The second episode comes tonight, and the average viewership for the 1-hour debut has been revealed. It's gained considerably more attention than recent seasons. It was kind of dying there, but Conor McGregor, they're hoping he would really spark it back to life ahead of his comeback later this year against Michael Chandler. He did coach on Tough before, opposite Uriah Faber on Tough 22 9 seasons ago on Fox Sports 1. That had 622,000 average viewers in its debut show. Well, Tough 31, McGregor and Chandler, it hasn't quite reached those heights. But not too bad. 294,000 average viewers, leaving it as the number 11 cable show on the night. Certainly not up to the standards and the expectations that Conor McGregor has created. Certainly not up to the standards and expectations that we thought Michael Chandler would be able to produce big numbers on this show. But again, it was just episode 1. Keep those social media things happening, boys. Keep speculating as to whether Conor McGregor is going to fight. A strategic fight announcement here, a bar brawl there, a bus action. Oh, you know, never mind. Anyway, McGregor and Chandler hoping to crack 300,000 tonight on Tough 31, Episode 2 on ESPN. That's all there is, fight fans. There is no more Full Press MMA on your Tuesday, June 6th, 2023. Jim Grease, G-R-I-E-S, at Jim Grease underscore, at Cageside Grease on social media. Give me follow, I make you holler, and we want to make you the smartest fan in any room when you're talking about MMA. That means we bring you the news, the notes, the hot topics, the hot takes, the rumors, all the BS that we cut through for you right here. And if that room's a sports book, all the better. We got your back with a fight stack. Full fight previews, odds breakdowns, every main card fight, every UFC fight card, plus the end of the week special after weigh-ins, the weights, the ramifications, the line movements, the props, all that you need to get the best value when you're putting some action on the action with the fight stack. And you'll get it right here where you get me now. Anywhere you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, iHeart, iEverywhere, man, Stitcher, Podbean, wherever you're listening to your boy. Right now, it's the takeover. I'm Grease. It's Full Press MMA. Love you, fight fans. Appreciate you being here more than you could ever know. Keep your game tight and your mind right. I'm out.